taught this fact, Vidibha, having learned Muni, the great sage, Praha, said, Patnim, unto his wife, Kastam, very regrettable, Akarasihi, you have done, Goda, fierce, Dandadara, a great personality who can punish others, Putra, such a son, Brata, brother, Te, your, Brahma Vita Maha, a learned scholar in spiritual science. So there's a little pastime that's being unfolded here, and that is Rishika Muni has prepared oblations for a sacrifice for sons, for both his wife and his mother-in-law. So this is the results of what he has prepared. When the great sage Rishika Muni returned home after bathing and understood what had happened in his absence, he said to his wife, Satyavati, you have done a great wrong. Your son will be a fierce Kshatriya, able to punish everyone, and your brother will be a learned scholar in spiritual science. So what happened was the mother-in-law received oblationships from the sacrifice from Rishika Muni, and so did his wife. But the mother-in-law was thinking, what my daughter-in-law has gotten, no, her daughter actually was her daughter, has gotten is actually better than what I'm getting. So she decided to use her position and switch the oblationses, or the results of the oblations. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Gornitai Ki Jai. So now Rishika Muni comes home and he's finding out what happened. So he speaks to his wife, Satyavati, you have done a great wrong. Your son will be a fierce Kshatriya, able to punish everyone, and your brother will be a learned scholar in spiritual science. Purport, a Brahmin is highly qualified when he can control his senses and mind, when he is a learned scholar in spiritual science, and when he is tolerant and forgiving. A Kshatriya, however, is highly qualified when he is fierce in giving punishment to wrongdoers. These qualities are stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:42 and 43. Because Satyavati, instead of eating her own oblation, had eaten that which was meant for her mother, she would give birth to a son imbued with the Kshatriya spirit. This was undesirable. The son of a Brahmana is expected to become a Brahmana, but if such a son becomes fierce like a Kshatriya, he is designated according to the description of the four Varnas in Bhagavad Gita. Charta Varnyam Maya Sristam Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. If the son of a Brahman does not become like a Brahmana, he may be called a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra according to his qualifications. The basic principle for dividing society is not a person's birth, but his qualities and actions. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So here in Prabhupada wants to bring out some interesting points, or some relevant points that are very important. And that is, one is designated in the Varnashram system specifically in the Varna system, according to one's quality and not one's birth. The deviation, or what we say the abrogated caste system, or the vitiated caste system, is that which one takes birth in a particular family and one automatically is designated accordingly. A Brahmin takes birth in a Brahmin family, he's a Brahmin. A Kshatriya takes birth in that family, he's a Kshatriya, and so on. So this is called the downfall of the entire Vedic system. Rather than understanding by qualifications and by activities, one is rubber stamped by birth. Even though a Brahmin may be born in a Brahmin family, if he doesn't have the qualities of a Brahmin, he should be, as Prabhupada says, designated according to those qualities, or understood according to those qualities. So how does that apply in our Krishna consciousness society? Where Prabhupada said many things in relationship to the Vanashram system. In the early days of the beginning of the movement, Srila Prabhupada very much talked about Vanashram, and he was talking about it basically for the society at large. But then he saw that the society is so topsy-turvy that it's not possible, as he said in 1974, to establish the Vanashram system. But as the years went on, Prabhupada wanted to, there was a famous morning walk conversation in 1974 in Vrindavan. It's a very long one, it's over an hour long, where Srila Prabhupada talks about how our society should be organized accordingly. And he said that it's not so easy to become a Vaishnava. And he repeated that a couple times in the same sentence. He said, although we are chanting Hare Krishna, still the devotees are falling down. Therefore, we must now establish this Vanashram system. But not Vanashram as it's understood in a materialistic way, but it's called Daivi Vanashram. Daivi Vanashram means that Vanashram where devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only activity. The only activity. It's not about being a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya. It's about serving the Lord according to one's particular nature and tendencies, like that. And therefore, in that same lecture in 1974, he outlined a whole program for establishing Vanashram within the ISKCON society. And based on that talk, he talked about establishing what he's called a Vanashram college, where he said, we are training devotees to become brahmanas. Everyone should be trained accordingly. But then, we want to also have classes and give instructions and guidance to others who may be designated accordingly in order to establish a social system within our society that would allow for all the services to go on in the best possible way. With the Brahmins as the guide, and also the teachers, and everyone working accordingly. It's a very long lecture. In fact, Prabhupada discussed it in full. In 1977, in Mayapur, he really talked about it. Lecture after lecture after lecture. He really talked about this whole system of Vanashram. He said, we have established this Krishna Consciousness Society, but 50% of my mission is unfulfilled, and that is I want to establish this Daivi Vanashram. And in the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very first canto, it explains that how this comes about, where the spiritual masters, or those who are in that position of spiritual master or leaders, evaluates those who they work, who are working underneath their guidance and direction, and sees how to engage accordingly, and at the same time pushes them towards this particular type of training. In our Gurukuls, There was one report from the Gurukul teachers, how, and the idea was to train all the young boys to become Brahmins. So one teacher was talking how this one boy, he just is so mischievous. He disturbs all the other kids. He doesn't want to learn the lessons. He's just a troublemaker. Basically, that's how he was described in those words. And therefore, when it came to learning and the discipline, he was not into it at all. So Prabhupada said, well, he just doesn't have that nature, but we can engage him other ways. So take him and put him on the farm and let him do some work. Okay. So to force a particular type of education according to a person's, just because the person is there, sometimes it causes a person to rebel or not to function within that activity. Of course, the highest principle is that service to Krishna is transcendental to all the different varnas. But that is on the highest platform. Therefore, one who is on the highest platform can do any kind of service. But Prabhupada said, in order to develop our society in the proper way, we have to establish this vanashram system, like that. And he really outlined it in very great detail. In fact, not only did he outline it, in the very last few months of his stay with us, he actually made a strong effort to show how to do it himself. He was in Mayapur, and he said, now I am going to travel all over our society, and we will establish these farm communities. And on these farm communities, I will teach the whole system of vanashram. I will do it. He wanted to do it himself. And he wanted to make Gita Nagari in America, in Pennsylvania, a model for the rest of the society. Unfortunately, Prabhupada had a struggle with his health, and therefore he wasn't able to carry it out. But he left the instructions with his senior devotees on how it is important that we organize our society. He said, I have established... He wrote this famous thing called Gita Nagari in 1949, I think it was. It was a famous treatise on what is a perfect society. And then he outlined four things: giving transcendental knowledge, and also, you know, becoming educated and also giving education, establishing the worship of the Lord within the temples, bringing people from the basic principles of material life, material consciousness, up to the standard of becoming actual Vaishnavas, through the process of training, education, and eventually the initiation. And then the last was the perfect society, that everyone working together according to their nature and serving the Lord in that way. And so, he said, that is the fourth leg of our movement. That I wanted to establish. And he said, the only place you can do this is that the farm communities are the models for these particular types of arrangements. He says, in the cities we can preach. The brahmacharis and the sannyasis go everywhere and preach, and put the grihasthas can manage the farms. The grihasthas can manage the farms, grow food. He outlined it very nicely. He said four things: grow your own food, learn the science of herbology, in other words, medicine. Just go into nature. I was just a couple of times when I was in two farm communities in America, New Talavan and in New Vrindavan. I was in New Talavan. I was walking with this one devotee. He has a herbal business where he markets herbs, medicines, which he makes himself, not only to the devotees, but to the outside communities. And he was walking along, and we were walking together, and he was just showing me, this thing can make this medicine, and this is what this is, and this is, and I just looked like ordinary forest to me, you know. I don't know what he was talking about. But he could just look and see the different types of herbs and shrubs and growth and say, this could be made for this, this could be used for this, this could. And practically, everything is there within nature. You know, we can do away with doctors. Sorry if there's any doctors here. He retired from doctoring. He's a brahmachari now, so he doesn't have to worry. So the idea is that one can live basically simply by what nature provides. In fact, you know, the modern medicines that are marketed, part of it is herbs. They mix it in with other things, you know, and different kinds of tinctures and alcohols and everything else. But medicines are generally coming from, you know, the environment, the herbs. So Prabhupada said, grow your own food. He said agriculture is first. You have to feed the devotees and you can feed the animals. Whatever the devotees don't take, then the whatever is extra can be given to the cows and to the animals like that. And for the devotees, you know, they can live healthy. He said food grown on your own farms is 100 times more nutritious than what you buy in the stores on the outside. That's an exact statement. 100 times more nutritious. And the beauty of that is that when you offer that item to the deity, the whole process is bhakti. The person who cultivates the ground is a devotee. The person who plants the seed is a devotee. The person who cultivates the plant, it's all done in a devotional attitude. So imagine the quality of that offering once it's prepared and cooked for the Lord and then taken as prasadam. And Prabhupada said, then just simply by living like that, we won't have any health problems. Because food is the basic standard for health. And so he wanted that, and he talked about that. And he also said, you know, grow trees or take trees from forests and build your own houses. And when Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, when I was there in the early 70s, he was talking about this. And he designed a house. He took a piece of paper and sketched a house, which we later named the Prabhupada house. And it was a small little dwelling. He said the grihasthas can live very nicely in this dwelling like that. And it was big enough, you know. It had enough facilities for a family of four to live nicely. So he showed us, you know, just everything's there within nature. We go out, we work so hard to get money to do the things that we need in order to buy food, to pay rent, and we struggle so many things like that. So, of course, that's the way society is organized. But Prabhupada didn't want that as a future farm movement. He said, gradually we should establish these farm communities and develop self-sufficiency. Keep cows. From cows, everything is there. You can make your own fuel. You can make your own medicines from cow dung and from cow urine. I was in one of our Krishna conscious farm communities in India. It was in Belgaum. And they have developed various types of products from cows. Over 50 types of products, including soaps, shampoos, you name it. It's all made from cows. Toothpaste, digestive, everything. And then they were doing a demonstration. I saw something that was really quite interesting. They had a clock, a regular clock, and they had two leads coming from the clock into two little buckets, which each had cow dung and cow urine in the bucket. And that cow dung and cow urine was making that clock go. Yeah, I saw it. I mean, it wasn't somebody. And so, I mean, it shows you how potent a cow is. I guess the leads have to be made in a certain way, of course. But this is an example of how, you know, the cow can provide so much. The cow is a manifestation. All the demigods are situated within the body of the cow, it says. All the devas. Cow is mother. She's one of the seven mothers and should be honored because she has so much to offer. And of course the bull is there to till the fields like that. So, of course, it's an endeavor, but it's the direction that Prabhupada wanted our society, because he said these cities won't last. These cities won't last. He said after some time everything will fold because of crime and economic collapse. And, of course, the threats of war are always prevalent on the horizon. Imagine if there was a major war that broke out. We would lose our electricity. We would lose our food supply. We might even lose our water supply. All of a sudden, everything could stop. Prabhupada wanted us to be prepared. And at the same time, he also said that when society starts to fall apart, people will come to our farms, not for spirituality, but for activity. And we can train them in varnas. And once we train them in varnas, we can also bring them, gradually we can bring them to ashram. He said, first varna, and then ashram, like that. And he said, this all should be done. The Brahmin should have enough knowledge of the various types of services that they can teach everything to everything, everybody, like that. Prabhupada said, I'm mopping the floor, but I'm not a floor mopper. I'm teaching you how to mop the floor. He taught us how to mop the floor, too. He showed us the science of how to mop the floor. Did you know that? There's a science of how to wash the floor. It's called, don't get the floor wet. You wash a particular area, take another dry cloth, and you dry it, and then you move on to the next area, you wash that, and you dry it. Prabhupada did that. And then when you're done, the whole floor is already dry. Not like you wash it and you got to wait 2 hours and throw the fans on and nobody can walk there, right? So Prabhupada he showed us everything, how to live in the very practical. And he said, this is the way Krishna lived. Krishna was a cowherd boy. He was with cows. You know, they had so many nice activities based around cows and agriculture like that. So it's not that we should give up the city temples. He said, in the cities we preach and in the farms we live. And then as we preach, we send devotees, new people to the farms, and they can be engaged like that. So this was Prabhupada's vision for our society. And so training has to be there, education has to be there. And so like that. And he wanted the brahmanas to do that. He said the brahmanas some of them should learn the arts of fighting, and then they can teach others who have that tendency how to fight. He said we should have devotees who are of that nature, that if there's any danger, then these devotees who are trained in the art of the self-defense like that, or defense, can somehow or other protect the devotees like that. So he wanted all that. And kshatriya means three things: protection, administration, personal welfare. They take care of people, they know how to organize, and they're also good fighters like that. Well, that was the kshatriya. The Brahmins, they give knowledge, they know knowledge, they teach knowledge, they worship the deity, they teach others how to worship the deity, and personally they practice giving in charity and receive charitable gifts, which they offer to the institution like that. So this is the whole science. And the Vaishyas, they grow crops, they also keep animals like that. They're very expert in accounting and various things like that. You see that even within our society. Our devotees have so many skills. But a lot of times we're not engaged, or we're engaged in a way that we're feeding the materialist society with our skills, rather than bringing those skills within the society of devotees. And then it becomes easy, that we don't become so dependent on the outside world. So this was Prabhupada's principle for bringing about vanashram system within our society. So that's a summation. And he said, we have two very successful programs. He called it book distribution, farm communities. So what did he mean by successful? He said, if you put energy in either one of those, you'll derive great benefit from each of those. Book distribution and form community. Of course, we do so many other things, and that's also important. But this is the foundation for bringing people in and the foundation for teaching people how to live like that. Yeah. And you look at society today. You know, people live like animals. They're stacked up. They're building. I just was in downtown London the other day. I went to Soho Street. They're building this center point in the middle of this big, gigantic, huge. It's just blocking the whole sky. It's more like, you know, when Kubakarna appeared, you know. Blocking the whole sky, and it's just huge, and it's just one kind of apartment. Very rich people live there on top of another. They're stacked up. Prabhupada said, how can you live like that? He said, you go in the villages in India, and people have their house, and it's clean. They have a nice little area. There's fresh air, and there's, you know, there's animals around, and it's healthy life. And now you're so rich, you got to live in these big buildings where you die of being crowded in, and at the same time, pollution, right? So society is, Prabhupada said, it's so misdirected that it can't last. Eventually it'll crack. You know, that's not a matter of futuristic. It's a matter of inevitability. Because you see, according to the nature of a living being, when the people live in a very, what we say, what's the type of word? It's more or less not living, it's struggle for existence. That's all it is. People struggle from day to day to make money, to enjoy life, to somehow get their food. When all these things are very basic to the human being, it's provided naturally by God. And it's so simple. So Prabhupada wanted to create a microcosm of the ideal society within the macrocosm of this degraded, dysfunctional society, which will attract intelligent people and gradually will expand itself outward and become the actual society. So, of course, Prabhupada gave us a big mission. And so, therefore, training people according to their natures and then engaging people in that way, like that. So, and the most important thing is provide food for the devotees, right? Agriculture. That's the most important thing. Nowadays, you know, you really have to watch what you eat if you buy some things in the market, with pesticides and herbicides and with a GMO and what is it? What's another one of those things? Another something else? There's something else besides GMO. Well, they get the, you know, sometimes you buy these big, gigantic fruits, you know, it looks like, you know, really nice thing, but they just kind of artificially grow it. Yeah, genetic. Yeah, that's the same thing, yeah. So it's just, that's why people get sick. Prabhupada said, because people do not live a regulated lifestyle and live basically on what God provides, everyone's sick. Doctors are the millionaires nowadays, right? Everybody's sick, right? They're building more and more hospitals, right? Just to house people. People are dying of cancer. Cancer is a Kali Yuga disease. Cancer is due to living wrong lifestyle. That's basically how it's done. Eating wrong foods, too much stress, too much anxiety, working unnecessarily. It's all due. It all creates dysfunction within the body, and then the cells start to become, you know, dysfunctional, and they create bad cells. And these bad cells become cancerous, and then they start destroying the good cells. I'm not a doctor, but pretty much Kali Yuga is, people are so full of the diseases. It's so bad. So Prabhupada wanted us, not only as a society, to live properly, but to show the rest of the world what is the ideal lifestyle, and therefore track people on based on that also. It's also a very powerful form of preaching besides the idea of just the philosophical teachings that we have to offer. I see Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. So these are some of the things. Of course, things are happening gradually within our society and things are moving in that direction, but still we have a long way to go. But here, in this particular purport, it says that, generally, Prabhupada's main point in this purport is that society should be divided accordingly and people should be engaged in court of qualities and actions. But there's also a statement in the Shastra says, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, that in this age, everyone is born of the nature of Sudra or lower. Therefore, training is necessary to bring people up into the level of brahminical qualifications. And in that way, one can be designated accordingly. And then if you try to train someone into brahminical qualification, doesn't have that nature, then observation, evaluation can push one according like that. But the whole society is topsy-turvy because people are not engaged according to their nature like that. Prabhupada says the governments are run by fifth-class people, or maybe even third-class. I don't know. I know one temple. I will mention the temple. The temple president was a Vaishya. Now, if you have a temple president who is a Vaishya, he's going to bring in a lot of money. And that's what happened. The temple became rich, but the preaching didn't go anywhere. The preaching, I was very expert at bringing in money and also making the temple quite gorgeous, but not much emphasis on preaching, because he saw that the success of our temple basically was, bringing in more material opulences like that. So you see that sometimes. So therefore, designating people according to their proclivities and giving them the services that are... Of course, people can be trained. Once a person gets into a particular service, one can be trained. Prabhupada wanted training for everything. How to become a good husband, training. How to become a proper wife, training. How to raise children properly, training. How to do different services, training. He said we should be expert in whatever we do. Expert. Well, because he said we're offering it to Krishna and we're developing the perfect society, both materially and, of course, spiritually. When the material aspect of our life is dysfunctional, it impacts and affects our practice of spiritual life. Just like sometimes when people are struggling to find a partner for marriage. Their focus is on that. It detracts and sometimes deters them away from their spiritual life and their enthusiasm to practice properly. Because they're concerned how to settle that part of their life or to find a proper employment within work, within the society. Because their economic needs are not being met, their spiritual life becomes, what we say, impinged upon. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, how the foundation for successful spiritual life means to organize your material life in such a way that it facilitates and enhances the practice of our spiritual life and doesn't take away from that. Because we see that many times, devotees sometimes just don't have time for Krishna consciousness because they're struggling with their material life. And so in order to overcome that, therefore Prabhupada wanted, a society which was somewhat inclusive where we could provide whatever is necessary for devotees like that. If a person wants to get married, sometimes people come to our movement just to find a mate, a husband or a wife. But if that consciousness goes on in the temple, it destroys the practice of spiritual life. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted these, what we call, groups of senior grihasthas who can help and engage people who are looking for marriage like that. They can be the guides like that. They'll be like teachers and guides for helping girls and boys find proper mates like that. So, like that. So, this whole Vanashram system is not simply something which is external. Of course, Lord Chaitanya said it is external, but he was talking about the material Vanashram system like that. When it's Daivi Vanashram, it actually is the fundamental basis for successful execution of Krishna consciousness like that. Like that. Okay, so. Now we can talk some more about this. What it means to be a Brahmana, what it means to be a Kshatriya, what it means to be a Vaishya. And at the same time, a devotee is first. Vaishnava is first. A Vaishnava is, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a, you know, Grihastha, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Sannyasi, I'm not a Vanaprastha. Gopi Bhattar Padakamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudas. He said, my real identity is that I'm servant of the servant of the servants of the Gopis of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So our actual identity is spiritual. But for the sake of material arrangements, these things are necessary in order to carry on the functions of the social and spiritual activities within the society like that, successfully. So, if someone is engaged as a Brahmin, if he thinks I'm a Brahmin, then he's thinking wrong. He's doing Brahminical work, he may have Brahminical tendencies, but he's a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, serving Krishna in that capacity. Like that. And the same with Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, like that. Okay. So just to make this point clear, that I'm not saying we should try to become Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishyas. We should try to engage people according to their nature in devotional service. Like that. Like that. Like that. Just like one devotee I know in another temple, he's got all these young kids who are part of the congregation. He's a martial artist, so he's training all these kids to learn how to fight. And so, you know, I could see some of the kids will never be fighters. They just don't have that tendency. And others, they're really growing fast, you know. So you can see, that's the time where you take the children at that age, and then you can really evaluate their nature when they get in their early, just before they get to, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. You can start to see their tendencies like that. And then training is given accordingly like that. We have brahmanas sometimes who are doing brahminical work, but they're more like kshatriyas. You know, a kshatriya is a person who has to get things done, and he has to do it his way. And brahmins are pretty much detached. So if you get kshatriya, people with kshatriyas tend to do in brahminical work, it could be pretty wild. And but sometimes, it's for the sake of emergency, just like Dronacharya was a brahmana, but he had to fight on the Battle of Kurukshetra. But he was able to fight as a kshatriya and perform kshatriya work perfectly like that. So sometimes Brahmins also take the position of Kshatriyas in order to carry out the duties of administration and protection like that. Okay, so any questions? Yes.